All right, welcome in to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text lines open 512-222-9328. And of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Lots to get into today. We're going to talk a ton of portal. Has not been as active as we maybe thought it would have been to get early, but still lots going on. So we'll get into that, where Texas is on all that. Talk some Texas basketball, some NFL, as well as we continue on the show today. Matt, do you have a good weekend? You settling back into 2026 and feeling good in the new year?
Yeah, man, everything feels great so far. I've been working my butt off with this transfer portal stuff, trying to keep up. And, I think there are some fireworks yet to come, but I think everything will be just fine. I know Texas fans are a little impatient, particularly at the running back position, but I think everybody's going to end up being pretty happy about it.
No, it's good. It's good. It was a weird sports weekend. And then I got to go to a Spurs game, which I haven't been to a Spurs game in a while, and it was tons of fun. But we did lose and Wimby didn't play. So I was like, all right, this is not quite what we were looking for. I need some wins to happen. I haven't had some wins in a little bit. And Texas men's basketball is just, it's just bad. It's just bad, bad. It's just bad. So we'll get into that later. But we will get really, I think the big piece, Matt, is what we saw happening over the weekend. Was a lot of visits, a lot of talking around, but in general, not just for Texas, but kind of across the world of the transfer portal, there was not nearly as much action early as we thought there would be. With all the tampering and everything else that we know goes on, it does feel like these agents are all very clearly trying to make everyone play each other against each other to get the best offers. So nobody wants to let their clients walk into a place and walk out with, and say, just go get it signed on the dotted line. If you're able to go get that, this amount of money, go get it. I think everyone goes, if we can get two, great. Maybe we can get three. We can get three, maybe we can get four. So don't sign, and we'll keep trying to get more and more as they can go. And it's one of those things that you're like, that's not a great sustainable model. But if you're an agent and you're a player, you might as well cash in while you can. So we're seeing it play against everybody. And I think once we start to see some of these top guys go, we'll see a lot more action. But it feels like there's a line with a lot of these positions, and everyone's kind of got it budgeted out. And they're like, well, you're number two. And so if we can get a couple wide receivers off the board, all of a sudden a bunch more wide receivers. Same with the running back position. It feels like there's just a lot to still play out. But are you surprised at all, Matt, at maybe how slow the actual signings and commitments have been so far?
Not necessarily. I think that it's different, obviously, than it was last year, because I think some of the top players are kind of just more weighing their options. You know what I mean? Like they know that they can kind of play this stuff. And like you kind of said, like play these offers against each other and all those kinds of things. I just want people to remember that, and I've brought this one up before, AD Mitchell was a very late portal entry.
Yep.
And, Texas fans were kind of freaking out a little bit about the wide receiver position outside of Isaiah Bond that year. And it eventually came to fruition. I still think that there's players that haven't necessarily entered the portal yet that could potentially enter the portal. And just because Cam Coleman leaves Austin without signing on the dotted line doesn't mean that that's a done deal, that he's not going there. He also visited A&M and left there without signing a deal. He's actually flown home now to Alabama when he was supposed to, I believe, fly to Texas Tech and to USC. And he could still take those visits, but I do think it could mean something that he flew home instead of going on another visit.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that one plays out, but at the end of the day, there's still plenty of things that can happen. There's a new running back name we can talk about. There's a new linebacker, a couple new linebacker names we can talk about. Some multiple visits for Texas. So there's still a lot happening. It's just, the stuff that has happened thus far hasn't necessarily been the most exciting things that we've heard in our lives. Like, you know, and we'll get into those, but the three specialists and a defensive tackle, I don't think is the way that Texas fans envisioned this thing kind of starting out, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't think it was. That was, you know, and especially not with so many guys leaving. So I think that's the main issue, and it's my main issue with it, is you can't let everybody go if you don't have a solid plan B. And that's mm-hmm. the little bit of concern of, well, we thought if you were going to let Parker and DeAndre and Trey Wisner and everybody leave, if you were not going to keep anybody on this offense, you had some other guys ready to go that we would have already known about him because it was a done deal, and that's why those guys leave. And the problem, you look at it and say, is there the confidence level of us being a more talented team next season instead of trying to now, are you going to be roughly the same talent level but cost $10 million more? Because now you had to overspend on guys when you could have just kept some guys and paid them, you know, less than what you're going to pay a guy who's roughly the same. Now, maybe they may be better. Maybe they may be worse. They're an unknown commodity when they come into your program. You never really know. So that's the worry. Now, it's still super early in this, so you can't judge anything yet, but there is definite, I think the concern level has raised for everybody because you felt like, and yeah, like at Texas, again, we talked about this with Will Muschamp. There was always the point of, if you would have given us a weekend with after firing PK, the concern level would be high. But because there was no break, there was no concern level. It went straight from PK being fired to, and Will Muschamp is coming. And mm-hmm. right now, for Texas fans, you're like, well, we're losing all these guys. Trey Wisner is now a Florida State Seminole. He's already gone. He's got a new uniform. He's got a new place. He's already looking for apartments. He's ready to go. And Texas is not there yet. Not the end of the world, but I understand the concern. And so I'll ask you, and I'll ask everybody in the chat too, where's your confidence level going in on this Monday? Where's your confidence level that this will be a win in the transfer portal, that overall you will improve in the transfer portal? Where's your confidence of not staying the same, not treading water, but actually improving? Where's your confidence level right now, Matt, in that Texas is still completely on the right track?
Well, am I doing it like out of 10?
Sure.
10 out of 10. I'm not concerned at all. I think that this is kind of typical of Steve Sarkisian in the sense that he's doing his due diligence, and they're doing their homework, and they're talking to the guys that they want. I don't think that they're going to overinvest in someone that they believe they can still get just for the sake of landing somebody early in the process. I mean, you have to let these things play out. And we've already seen some players enter the portal in the last 24 hours that we did not anticipate to enter the portal. Like Cade Uvalale or whatever his name is from California. He's one of the best linebackers in the country. I believe Texas will be in on him. And, you know, that's a player that was not in a part of the conversation up until yesterday. So I think some more of those things are going to happen. I trust their process. I trust what they're going to do. The running back visitor that they have right now is a very exciting one, in my opinion, in Relik Brown. The Arizona State running back, extremely explosive. If you compare him on a level of number two running back to Trey Wisner, Trey Wisner is probably about right here. This guy's up here. Okay, so it would be a major upgrade if they can land that guy. He's on campus right now. And those are just, you know, those are just the kinds of things that are going to continue to happen, I believe, as this thing goes forward. They've got a corner on campus that has familiarity with Mark Orphy. So there are still things happening, and as the process continues to play out, these things will take care of themselves. But right now, I know everybody's on pins and needles because you haven't gotten your star yet, but I promise you, at least from my vantage point, it seems like those things are coming.
No, I like that. I like that. Look, I'm at a 6 or 7, which is what I've been at since last week, 6 or 7. I don't like the process, what they're doing. I'm not a fan of new is better, because it's not. New is different, but new does not equal better. So there's a question of, well, is this guy going to be better? And you go, well, what system are you putting him in? How is he going to work with what it was? I don't think the problem this year was necessarily just straight up talent. I think on the offensive line, it probably was, but a lot of areas, they did not improve over the offseason. They just did not. And the reason why Sark is a better coach than Texas had for 15 years was player development. He developed players, and they just didn't do it in one offseason. They were so worried about keeping themselves healthy, they did not develop their players at all over an offseason. They developed them during the season. I mean, hell, look at Christian Clark in the bowl game. By the end of the season, Christian Clark was developed into a much better player. But he wasn't at the beginning of the season. We look at half that roster, and we go, they got better by the end of the season because they developed. But we just didn't see the progress that we needed to see, and we lost two games in the first five games of the season. And that's the reason why we weren't in the playoffs. Nothing else. Was we did not develop our players early enough, and we were not ready to start the season. And so I get we can get new guys in. And when I say that, but the talent level to me of letting a lot of guys go and taking the shot, because we can talk about running backs and go, well, they're better than Trey Wisner, and go, maybe they are, but maybe they'll get in the SEC and they won't, they'll have similar runs. And so I'm not 100% sold on anybody who doesn't play at this level. This is also, you got to remember me coming off of basketball and watching a Texas basketball team that only picks up guys who can play at lower levels and doesn't want to pick up real players over and over again, and then wonders why they can't perform in the SEC. But we've seen that too often. We see it happen all the time. Is you get a big name, you get a guy who was a really great player at a slightly lower level, and they can't take that transition when he gets more physical, when the holes open up or slower, when the guy chasing you is a little bit faster. All of those things take him out. The jump from college to the NFL is the best example of it, but we see it in levels of play. So with all of that, I'm always just a little bit, I'm not super overconfident, because I think they're going to have to overspend to equal the same roster they had last year. And that's, I think they needed to upgrade some positions for sure. And defensively, you've definitely, that linebacker position right now is huge. You have to continue to find the guys there. I think you still need a little bit more love in that secondary too, losing Manny Muhammad. I think you got to find somebody in there who's going to make you feel excited about that secondary. And then the offensive line. Outside of that, like the Cam Coleman thing for me, I would love to have Cam Coleman. Really would. I think it would be so much fun to watch him. But on the flip of that, wide receiver to me wasn't really the issue this year. It wasn't like, man, if we just had a couple more wide receivers, we'd be good to go. We just had one more guy. Now, you know, we don't win Florida if we have Cam Coleman. And again, that's the one game that I'm like, that was more about consistency and who showed up and who was ready to play. But you're like, we don't win Florida if we have Cam Coleman. So that one to me, but I still need to see offensive line. I need to see running backs now because, you know, I know we've got some young guys coming in. I don't trust any true freshmen to be a star player on a national championship team in 2 years. Yeah. 1 year, maybe even they could be really, really good, but I need somebody there. And drops are an issue. I agree. Drops were an issue. I think drops are an issue across the league in a lot of places. And there's Cam Coleman be nice. I don't think we win that game though, because we were just thoroughly outplayed on that game. I think you make the team better. Again, I'd love to see Cam Coleman. Love to see him. I also think drops when they're not one player and they're across becomes, again, not having your team ready to play early in the season and not having your guys ready to go. That just seemed to be a bigger problem for me across the board. So I've been 6-7 in confidence level from the beginning. It hasn't gone down over the weekend. I'm not more afraid of it because I thought this was what was going to happen. Like, I didn't think you were going to walk out and immediately walk in the portal and go, here's $20 million. Let's go get these guys and give them an offer they can't refuse. I didn't think we were going to do that, because it's not a really great way to run your business, is to do that. So I think we're still right where you're at, Matt. No, Ike. I think we're about right where you're at. I think you're right, which is they're going to bring in a lot of people to play well. I'm just not oversold. It's going to take me a minute to get oversold on some of these guys, because what I wanted to see and what I know is out there are a little bit more questionable of guys. But let's start going down some of these targets so you can tell me on these.
But before you do that,
yes,
I need you to put your confidence level at either 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, so we don't get this meme thing.
No, we're doing it. We're doing it.
But in terms of Cam Coleman, here's my thing about that.
Yeah.
I think it's more than just adding a really good receiver to your roster. I think it's adding a skill set at wide receiver that you didn't previously have that is critical to unlocking your passing game.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is Texas did not really have a 50-50, go get it, you know, a contested catch guy, whether it be in the red zone or down the field, that Arch can just say, I don't know where to go with the football. I'm going to throw it that way, and he's going to go get it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Texas hasn't had that since A.D. Mitchell. They got away with it, I think, a little bit more last year because Matthew Golden kind of developed into that as the season went on. But I sincerely believe that Cam Coleman on this roster would unlock this passing game to a completely new level. It would make Arch Manning better. It would make the offense better in every which way. Now, that being said, the whole $4 million thing that has been thrown around, I think, has been wildly overdone. Based on everything that I've heard, it's going to be more around $2 million, which at the end of the day, I don't think really matters. I think that also what I've heard is that he's not going to make the decision based on money, which would lead you to believe that if he's down to Texas or Texas A&M, then he's going to be like, well, who's the better quarterback? And I think that's a very obvious answer to that question. So that is something that I think also needs to be considered. Do you beat Florida with Cam Coleman? Probably not, because you got absolutely blitzed on the line of scrimmage in that game and you couldn't do anything on the line of scrimmage. Do you beat Ohio State if you have Cam Coleman?
Maybe.
I think you have a much better shot.
It's a different game. But yeah, Arch could throw the football in that game.
Yes, but he could have thrown the ball up in the air.
I don't know. I saw some of those. He didn't get him in the air in that one. I'm with you, though. I'm with you. I think you have a good point there. Very much so. I'm with you. That there is. He does add something. I think he'd be really good. But, like, again, the issue is not our passing game was so bad. What are we going to do? It was not good, but we couldn't run the football. And, like, really simple. You have to be able to play defense, and you have to be able to run the football to win a national championship. Bottom line, bar none, this is what has to happen. If you cannot do those two things, we could throw for 7,000 yards and we'll end up losing in the second round because someone will be able to run the ball and control the clock against us. So that's again where my concerns are is, look, I get we love to have him, and like, but that's why I say I'm not as concerned about Cam Coleman, because I would love to add him. But he's a fun piece that will make our team much better. He is not required for us to be in the conversation to be a national champion next year. If we get him or if we don't, it does not, we could still be a national champion. But there's some other things if we don't get it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And also just 1 second back to the conversation about is he going to be better or is he going to be worse? I think that in those situations, and this isn't me arguing with you, it's just a general way of people looking at it. I think that you have to look at the measurables. And I get the Big 12 is much like in Relique Brown, for example, the running back. You have to look at the measurables, and I know that he's going against Big 12 defenses, but if you look at the way that those guys play football, he's quicker, he's faster, he's bigger, he's stronger. That should provide an upgrade. Now, does that mean that there will be an upgrade based, you know, once he gets to campus? That's still up for debate. But based on the way that this staff develops talent or identifies talent, I would trust their judgment of letting Trey Wisner go and picking up a Relique Brown more so than I would do that with Texas Tech going to get Brennan Sorsby, who's just kind of a mid quarterback that they just threw a bunch of money at because they wanted to make a big splash. Like that's why I think that the two situations are completely different with Texas and Texas Tech, for example, is I think Texas Tech is just trying to throw money around to make a splash. And I think Texas is being a little bit more deliberate in what they're trying to do and the players that they're trying to bring in, which may be why it's taking a little bit more time.
No, I'm with you. I agree 100% with that. The issue I had was is coming in and saying, guys, we're all in, and then doing things the exact same way, except letting more players go. That's the only issue. I don't think you're all in. I think there's the exact same way we've been doing business before. Now, hopefully that changes and we do spend more money and we do go more all in. I don't know that they are, though, because I assume they are going to run it the same way they've been running it, which is not a bad way to run it. I just personally am not thrilled how much different this offense is going to look without seeing the back end of it. Now, maybe they'll get me and I'll be more excited about it. Well, you know, I'm not discounting that. I just don't. I think there was some really easy things to fix on that offense to make it better, and to do wholesale changes, I didn't know if that was necessary. I trust Sark. I trusted what they're doing. I thought that they were kind of going into this. This is where I always lose it, is the thought process of, well, we're Texas, or we are offering something that they're going to come in, and it's not, at the end of the day, going to come down to money. And then walking into rooms with guys and you pitch them on everything else. And then they go, okay, but the number's this. And they go, well, that number is a little high. And they go, okay, bye. I genuinely could not care about your school. I don't care about the things. I don't want to be here. I want to get paid the money, and I want to get I want to be guaranteed a starting job. That's what I want. And if you're not going to give it to me, there's three other schools who will. And that's not everybody, clearly, but that's a lot of people. And that's the one where I'm like, I think Texas is going to miss out on some people that they think are going to care more about other things. And then when the number comes in and it is too high, they may miss out on some of those guys. They'll get somebody else good. But again, it's that middling line of, okay, are you going to go and just deal with that at certain positions? I'm okay with it at wide receiver. I'm not okay with an offensive line. You cannot not get offensive linemen.
Well, yeah, and they've had some visit already, which is important. Yeah, yeah. But here's what I'll say. I get wanting to go out and make a big splash early, you know, and quiet some of the concerns about certain positions. But you also don't want to be Oklahoma and go get Jaden Ott, and then he turns into a big loss.
I agree.
So I like the way that they're approaching it.
Yeah.
And I think that patience is the most important thing that we need to have in this beat or following Texas going forward, because I think that they're going to make the right moves and they're going to get the right guys. And JB, I'm not going to have that conversation with you. They're not even close. But regardless, there have been a lot of positive developments thus far, and we're going to talk about those now, but there are going to be things that play out as the week goes on that people are going to be very happy about, and I'm very confident in that.
Yeah, so let's talk about who Texas is currently looking at. We do know they've brought in probably the biggest name is Ian Gefford, the defensive lineman out of Arkansas. You bring in another big guy. He's a good player, big body guy. Definitely going to be a rotation piece for Texas on that defensive line. It's a position that they have recruited well in the past. They continue to recruit well in the portal to be able to fill that. So they get that one done. Seems like a perfect fit for what they kind of need. Not too big of a name that you're trying to, you know, take away from Hero Canoe or Murad Watson or Alex January or any of those guys, or maybe even a Justice Terry some part. But somebody that you do need to get in to push the ball a bit more.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a very, very big, very, very big piece of this defense. And the reason is because he is a prototypical build for what Will Muschamp likes in his nose tackles. Very big space eater that can occupy blockers in front of them and let linebackers run free. And he plays a different position than Hero Canoe and Murad Watson and Alex January. He'll be the other defensive tackle, while those three will kind of rotate at the other spot. And I think they're going to bring in another bigger guy that we'll talk about here in a second. But he's going to be a very, very big part of being an anchor of this defense in the middle, and just a giant immovable space eater, which is, I mean, he's like 390 pounds, I think, or 385 pounds or something like that. Just absolutely massive human being.
And then they end up getting their special teams starting to get figured out as well. which is this 12 ads on my page. As I'm trying to pull up names because I don't remember names for special teamers. I'm trying to be like Urban Meyer and not remember kickers' names. But it's Spetic or Spetic.
Gianni Spetic, yeah.
The kicker from Memphis. You also get Florida State punter. Do you got a pronunciation of this name?
I don't. I'm not going to try. Cemento, something like that.
We'll go with. And then Dubuck, a long snapper as well. So trying to shore up some of the stuff on special teams, going out and getting those guys as well, additions that we've brought in.
Yeah, I mean, they're important because you're losing Bo Meester and Mason Shipley. You're bringing in a punter that, and I'm not going to sit down here and act like I'm a punter expert, but he's got, you know, a very good clip of downing punts inside the 20. He gets more hang time than Jack Bo Meester, so that'll be good for covering punts. And you're getting a kicker with a big leg, which I think is important. He wasn't the most accurate kicker in the world necessarily. I think he was like 75% last year, but he does have a big leg, which will help you in the kickoff game as well, getting the ball out of the end zone and that kind of thing. And then you always need to have a good long snapper. That can be disastrous. If you don't have the right person at that position, you can make a lot of mistakes. So I'm happy with all of it. It's like I said, not the most exciting start in the world when you get three specialists and a defensive tackle, but they are important positions that they needed to shore up.
No, and then the disappointing start was that Isaac Brown was predicted to go to Texas, the running back, probably the top running back at the time in the portal. He would not be over it.
We have some breaking news. Texas has another portal commitment.
Okay.
Michael Masuna, tight end out of Michigan State, has committed to the Texas Longhorns.
Okay.
He just posted it on Twitter. This is not going to be a Jack Endries or a Gunnar Helm. This is going to be a big, mean, in-blocking tight end that is going to maul you at the point of attack. He's going to be a very, very good complement to Nick Townsend. And when they run that 12 personnel, I think you can have a lot more confidence that they're going to be able to get some better blocking from that position. So I think that's a big pickup. That's another position that they needed to fill was a blocking tight end. And yep. I think that he fills that very well. And I'm going to publish that story on my website right now, Patrick, while you're talking.
So, yes. No, it's good. Texas gets another commitment there from another blocking tight end. The guys that you – so these are guys more that want to come play part of a system, believe that they could be part of something special. You're getting some of those guys coming in right now, and you're matching the money that you need to for them. So you are doing it in one sense. It is just those bigger name guys in some of the positions where there is a lot – of a lot of people that are coming through there that you're going to have to try and figure out what you want to do with. What I was saying before, though, was Louisville running back Isaac Brown was in the portal. He was the top-ranked running back in the portal at the time, at the beginning of the portal. He was projected to come to Texas. Crystal balls were going that way. Everything looked like he was going to come to Texas. And then reverses course over the weekend and agrees to return to Louisville. So he had, 4 days ago or so, had said he was entering the portal, got in, and then Wright got back out. So Isaac Brown not coming to Texas, which was a piece that you would have said, okay, I feel pretty good. There's a really good running back. He could do a lot of things. Could be a little bit more of a bowling ball for Texas than they've had in the past. Really good player. He is now not coming, so you have to go back in the drawing board, and that's where you start to look at some other running backs in the portal. But yeah, and he never actually entered the portal. He announced he was going to enter the portal. Then that puts him in the range, and then everyone says he's going to Texas, and then he goes back to Louisville. They either get the money right or whatever convince him to come back, and he goes back to, which is his prerogative to do. But it was a piece that on Friday it was reported that he was going to be leaning that way. So that was another disappointing factor of the beginning of the portal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's disappointing, but you know, it's hard to put a lot of hope in a guy who has not entered it yet. And I didn't want everybody to get their hopes up on him, because Louisville has done a very good job of holding on to players via the portal. It's not the first time Texas has wanted a Louisville player that has ended up staying at Louisville. And they're going to pay him a lot of money to be a very key part of their team, and they'd convinced him to stay home. And that's a big win for them. But there are other players out there. He and Raelique Brown are very comparable when it comes to traits. So it might not end up being the biggest loss in the world. But obviously it would have been nice to have him. It would have gotten things off to a shotgun start and everybody would have been happy about it. But there are still plenty of options out there for that one.
Yeah. So let's start going in, Matt, to some names that you've been hearing and that have been going around for Texas that you maybe feel good about or are looking at or think would be good fits, wherever you want to start.
Well, I think that we should start at the defensive tackle position. Okay. Zion Williams, the defensive tackle, he's a freshman defensive tackle from LSU, entered the portal. Texas was in on him when he was coming out of high school. He ended up signing with LSU due to Bo Davis. Bo Davis obviously leaves, and he makes a new decision to enter the portal. He's another big nose tackle, young developmental one that they can put behind Giffrard alongside Josiah Sharma to develop for the long term, but he's extremely talented. He's expected to take a visit to Texas this week, and Texas will feel very, very good about where they stand with him. He's a guy that I'm really keeping my eye on. Cade Uvalde, I'm mispronouncing his last name, but I can never pronounce these. Uvalde out of Cal, first team all ACC linebacker, one of the best linebackers in the country, over 100 combined tackles this year. He's one of the most dynamic playmakers on defense in the ACC. He's looking for a new opportunity. Cal is going to try to hold on to him as well, but I think that, you know, the relationship that Justin Wilcox over at Cal has with Steve Sarkisian, if Uvalde enters, does indeed decide to go somewhere else and not go back to Cal, I think Texas will have a leg up in that conversation. If you're talking about linebackers that could be an ideal replacement for Anthony Hill, he is certainly one of them, and he would give Texas one of the most talented defenses in the country just by adding him to the roster. Jaden Woods, another guy, Florida, developmental edge, but extremely talented. Texas is very in on that conversation. They are very, very, many people are very, very excited about what he could develop into. I believe he's going to visit Texas A&M as well. I think he was in Texas over the weekend. Bo Masco, a corner out of Rutgers. Mike Orphy knows him very, very well. Mark Orphy knows him very, very well. He was an all Big Ten guy as well. He could come in and make a major impact in terms of a depth and experience type of corner. And I think that would be great. I know Edwin Joseph visited, the safety out of Florida State, visited over the weekend. I don't know that he's going to be a Texas take or not, especially depending on what they do with Derek Williams, whether or not he decides to return. And I'm trying to think if there was another defensive guy that I had my eye on. Oh yeah, Quay Rousseau out of Alabama. He was a 5-star player. He's an edge. He was a freshman in Alabama this season. He's entering the portal. I do expect Texas to be in on him and be very heavy in that conversation with him. And those are all really, really exciting, really talented players that you could add to your roster that can make an impact from day one. So, and it was the Wisconsin linebacker. I forget his name off the top of my head. I'll have to find it real quick, but he's also visiting Texas right now. That's a good shout in the chat there. Not necessarily Uvalde in terms of production and talent, but he's a very, very good, solid player, and they need to add multiple pieces at the linebacker position, so he is one to keep an eye on as well.
Is that Kamara?
No. I'll find his name real quick. No. Give me one sec. I got so many names flying at me that I that I forget some of them here. Christian Allegro. Christian Allegro. Yeah.
Okay.
Out of Wisconsin. He's a good player. I mean, he's like I said, he's not Uvalde, but he had 32 solo tackles. I'm pulling up his full stat line. 49 total tackles, 32 solo tackles, 17 assists, one pass deflection, four sacks, 6'4", 245 pounds out of Connecticut. He's a good player. So that's another one to keep an eye on as well for the Longhorns.
And I mean, I think too, you know, it is, you always got to remember too, that is the 105 scholarships now you can afford this season, especially because you'll try and get some more of those guys as recruits next season, but you can afford a little bit more to go out and go, let's add a little bit more depth in that linebacker room if we're not sure. So we can go out and get somebody who may not be an every down player, but we can go try and get somebody and give them an opportunity to compete, which is the same thing they're going to have at their current place.
Yeah, and then also the UTSA defensive tackle, Kenny Ozuwalu, is also visited over the weekend. He's a defensive tackle, kind of more in the Hero Canoe, Alex January mold, where he's going to be more of the, not the nose tackle, but the defensive tackle. I expect Texas to be very heavy in that conversation as well. I mean, they're trying to sort of add a lot of depth and talent to this already really good defensive line.
Yeah.
And adding some guys that fit the Will Muschamp mold. And he's certainly one of those guys as well.
No, I mean, because this is the reality of the game today is trying to figure out what depth is in 2026 in college football. Because, you know, people get mad at Georgia now or Alabama or anybody else saying, you know, you guys aren't doing what you were 5-10 years ago. And then the Nick Saban models, people keep trying to get that. And you're like, it's never going to exist again, or at least not in the modern era. It could, depending on what the rule changes are right now. There's just not, like, you can't stack your twos are never going to be probably so much better than everybody else's ones. And that's the way Alabama was. And that's the way Georgia was for a while, that their backup defensive linemen were guys who were going to be first round NFL picks. And it was ridiculous, the amount of wealth of talent that they had. That's not really going to be the case anymore. So now you have to be able to fill your roster. And how do we find, you know, the diamond in the rough that becomes the guy that is our backup, who's also really, really good. And with 105 scholarships, you can cast a little bit wider of a net now and try and get some guys that have certain skills that you think you can use in the right situations to try and get yourself into, if you do have an injury and have to figure it out for a week or two, or, you know, if something's not going well and you go up against a team that just has one thing. So if you play a team that runs the ball nonstop, well, I need some more run stoppers. And then if you play a team that throws all the time, all right, I need some DTs who can go and get penetration and collapse a pocket. I need a bum rusher that's literally just going to try and push his guys backwards. And then I need a guy who's got some moves, and you're just trying to do that. And you know, none of them are going to be complete players, but with 105 scholarships, you can add a couple more guys at those positions on the defense for sure, for Muschamp to have a fighting chance in his first year to put together something really special.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important that you know, find players that fit, particularly on defense, you find players that fit what Will Muschamp is trying to do, maybe a little bit better than some of these other players that are departing would have, like Leon Golofao. He's not exactly the prototypical middle linebacker that would thrive in a Will Muschamp defense. So you try to bring in somebody who fits that a little bit better. You try to bring in a safety that can play free safety a little bit more like Will Muschamp likes to play it. You try to find corners that are a little bit better in press man coverage and those kinds of things. I think they already have a couple of those guys that Will Muschamp will really like, but that's just kind of what I'm talking about here, is finding guys that fit your new system.
Yeah.
And on offense, you know, that remains the same in terms of, we need to find guys. If we're Texas, we need to find guys that are more physical up front along the offensive line, like the two Michigan guys that they brought in for visits, Guanera and Sprague, I think would be excellent additions to what they're trying to do. Particularly the Guanera, the guard, would be a amazing pickup for them. He's extremely tough, extremely physical. He can move people, which is something that Texas obviously really struggled to do for a large part of the season. Sprague would come in and play right tackle. So then that would probably push Brandon Baker inside to guard, which would be an interesting fit, but he's good enough, I think, they can make that work. At running back, I still think that you're taking two I don't think it's going to be one-person deal. Relik Brown is a guy that I would be very interested in if I'm Texas. Obviously, Jaden Baugh is the home run that everybody wants. He's still yet to enter the portal, but if he doesn't, maybe there's still a guy out there who hasn't entered the portal yet that could enter the portal. Or, and I know people are going to say LSU running back, they couldn't run the football, but Caden Durham, I think, would be an excellent pickup for this football team. He's tough and he's physical. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he can run through tackles and he's fast. He's quick. He's what you would want Trey Wisner to be.
Okay.
In terms of skill set and traits. But he's just more athletic. I'm not going to say tougher because I think tougher is more of a mentality, but I think that he's more physical and he's got more top end speed. He's extremely fast. So those are a couple of guys that I would look at there that I'd be very interested in. And then there's going to be more offensive line that they talk to. There has to be. I haven't heard a ton of names yet, but we'll have to see how that all plays out. There's still a lot left to play out here if you're the Longhorns, yeah, which is why I'm preaching patience.
No, and like the Relik Brown one is interesting to me still. I like, because I think he's a good second back. And I know he's a 1,000-yard rusher and everything else. The 4 touchdowns scares the crap out of me. Because, again, like, what, last 5 seasons, we've talked about Texas not being able to score in the red zone, and it was a little bit better this year, but still, like, you have to be able to get the short yardage gains, and that's not necessarily his game as much. And so you have to find somebody that was supposed to be CJ Baxter this year. You need to find somebody who can be just push the pile, just when you're playing some of these good teams, get you 4 or 5 yards, because you love to have guys that can be game changers. And I think Relik Brown can be a game changer, but you need to have the other consistent part of it too. So when you are just trying to run the clock out and just trying to move the ball and just trying to get yourself in positions to be not in third and longs, that's the guy. And that's what Jaden Baugh. That's why we all want him. We watched him do it against us, and he did a bunch of other teams, to put them in second and short, you know, just pushing a pile and pushing and falling forward and getting 6 yards on first down. That guy is who I'm still really, really looking for. And I thought Brown was a little bit more of that I think Isaac Brown was a little bit more like that than Relik Brown. Is it Isaac? The names I'm terrible with. it's too much to talk about him for one day and then forget about him again. But I think Relik Brown, I think he's a good addition if they're able to get him. But again, that it's, if you add Relik Brown, you still have to definitely add a second running back.
Oh yeah, for sure. You need that power dynamic to your game, and that's what CJ Baxter was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And the reason that they're letting him walk is because he wasn't the same player. And you need to find a player like Jaden Baugh or like one of these other power backs that are in the portal that can come in and give you that type of thunder to the lightning that could be Relik Brown or someone else. Jaden Baugh obviously is the one that everybody is watching, like we just said, and he is kind of what CJ Baxter should have developed into had he stayed healthy. So if you can get him, I think Sark would be on cloud 9. But you know, Florida feels good that they're going to keep him. Texas feels good that they're going to be able to lure him away. It all just depends what he wants to do with his future. And you know, Texas fans are going to be waiting on pins and needles until that decision comes through.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a long week into next week with the portal for sure. As it's never feels like it's going to be enough. You know, I don't know how many players will be enough, because like offensive line, if you get 3, then everyone's going to be like, can we get a 4th though? Can we get a 5th? So it is going to be a pressure for Texas to keep delivering on these names. But yeah, I mean, I think offensively, you know, Matt, if we're looking at, really, it's offensive line and running back for me that it's like, those are of dire need now, because you let DeAndre Moore go and you let Parker Livingston go. You do need to fill up the wide receiver room again, but I don't really have a doubt they could find guys that will be good additions, especially with the young players they have. I'm not as worried. Again, if you get Cam Coleman, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. That's awesome. But they've done a really good job of finding guys out of that portal over and over and over again. And again, like an Emmett Moseley is a perfect example. And I know he was in the second portal, but Emmett Moseley is a guy that you were able to bring in who was a, you know, a perfect fit for what Sark wanted to do. And it came in and just continued to get better throughout the season. So I think wide receiver wise, I trust them pretty thoroughly that there will be so many wide receivers in this portal. There's so many guys out there that you'll be able to find some guys that come in and fit what you need them to do. But offensive line wise, you can't miss, and running back ways, you can't miss, because we've watched it with some teams in the playoffs this year. They could not consistently run the football, and they're not in the playoffs anymore. And then you look at like a Miami who is the least talented team left in the playoffs, but they got a running back and it's kept them in every game, and they're continuing to play. So I know it's a simplified version of it. I think Texas still has a great shot to bring in some good running backs and good offensive linemen because no one else is really signing them all up. It's not like we're missing out on them right now. Like same thing with Cam Coleman. We haven't missed out on anybody yet, really. Quarterbacks are starting to go, but that was in the market we were in. So I'm not overly worried about it in that sense. It's more that I know how many people are freaking out trying to go for them across college football. And you have to be able to go win those battles.
Yeah, and I think that they will win a lot of battles. Texas wins a lot of recruiting battles, whether it's with transfer portal players or recruits, which is why they're always ranked so high in recruiting. But, you know, I also kind of liken this to not this past summer, but the summer before during Texas recruiting. Everybody was freaking out because Texas was ranked like 15th in recruiting, and it seemed like they weren't really making any headway, and they were losing out on guys left and right. And everybody was like, oh my God, Sark's getting cooked. And then I think you and I were we on the show at that point? I can't remember if it was that summer or not, but I feel like it was. No, it couldn't have been. I guess it wasn't, regardless, I was preaching to a lot of people, at least on Texas Longhorns on SI. Let Sark cook.
Oh, just, yeah, but that's every year, yeah.
Just let him cook. And then what ends up happening, they get the number one recruiting class in the country. So I think that patience is a virtue in this situation. And I understand the nervousness when it comes to some of these key positions, like running back, for example. Because you let a former 1,000-yard SEC rusher go, but I can guarantee you they have a plan there. I can guarantee it. And they're not just going to let it go like, oh, well, we didn't want to pay XYZ, so we're just going to roll into the season with Christian Clark and Derek Cooper. They're going to have a plan. They're going to execute that plan, and they're going to get some guys that are better than what they had before, and they're going to have a better running game, and they're going to have a better offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality of why it's frightening, or when it's playing the stock market, it's gambling, it's what it is. Because anytime you let a known commodity go for the unknown commodity, there's a level of risk. And so, you know, there was risk running it back with what you had and, you know, trying to add a couple pieces but keep your own guys. There's risk in that as well, but the risk of ending up with nothing or ending up with something worse is still there. It's probably a 10 to 20% chance, but there's a 10 to 20% chance that you downgrade because you waited or because you let something go. It's just there. It's a chance that you misjudged the market. You had somebody lined up and that dude lied to you, or that dude took something else. Happens. And, mm-hmm. and then you kind of are behind the eight ball trying to go steal somebody from somebody else now, who's already, you know, they're already locked in that they're going to LSU, or they're locked in that they're going to Tech, or they're locked in, they're going somewhere like that. And then you got to go try and convince them to come back in. So that's the concern is you're right. You have to let these things play out and you have to trust the people that are doing them. It's nerve wracking. The good news is the other shoe has not dropped yet, which is when we start to see some of these big names start coming off the board, because once they do, we know it's going to start going faster and faster and faster throughout. Now, there's still names that are going to go in the portal because somebody will sign somebody and then that'll knock somebody else out. But you'd prefer to not be on the one of getting somebody else's leftovers. You'd like to be getting the guy that's the best. So I'm with you, Matt. I think you're dead on with what you're saying. I just have less. I'm more concerned about the playing field that it is. It's not what Sark knows is what's happening, not what, you know, Brandon, you know, the staff and everybody putting it together for Texas right now. I'm not as concerned about their plan as much as the playing field, because it is the Wild West and there are agents who are going to lie and there are kids who are going to change their minds and there are other teams who are going to do crazy things. And and Rodney, I agree with you. Can we have any more Smiths and Jones? Isaac Brown was a great one. Could say both of his names. Was a big fan of it.
Hey, think about guys like me who have to write those names every day.
No, I'm with you, Rodney. But no, it's so that's the only concern. Is it's there, and it's, but we're not there. We're not there yet. It's still very early in the game, and it wasn't the flurry. So there's a flurry of visits, conversations, everything else. The flurry of commitments has not happened yet.
No, and sorry, I'm just answering a thing about the portal. Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. And the good news is we got 11 more days for it to happen.
Yep.
So there are some names that I'm watching closer than other ones that I think could pop at any moment, which is why I, you know, have like 17 stories in the hopper for when they do, and it all get super flustered and during the show, and you'll not understand why, and then we'll tell you why momentarily. But, you know, it, I think that Sark has kind of two ways he can go about this, right? He can take his time, he can be deliberate, and he can make sure that he's getting the guys that he wants, or he can try and make the fan base happy and overpay. And I think that generally speaking, the first way of doing things is the right way to do things. But I would like to see, just for the sake of Texas fans, over the next 24 hours or so, for one of these big names at a key position to hit.
Yeah.
Whether it's Cam Coleman or a running back or one of these Michigan offensive linemen potentially, I think that would be something that would collectively for Texas fans just be a, okay, yeah, we got a guard. We're good. We can feel good now about what's happening. But it's going to be tough because these players are really good and they're in the portal getting a ton of money thrown at them. So they have decisions to make of their own. It's not just all on, you know, Steve Sarkisian to be like, okay, here's your check, and then the player commits. It's, you know, these kids are going through really tough decisions, and it's hard to just be like, okay, I'm going into next year, my NFL future is in this guy's hands. Is this where I'm sure I want to end up? So, you know, you can't fault the kids for taking a little bit more time and seeing what else is out there. But I think Texas has a really good pitch for all these guys, and I think that people are going to be more than happy when it all comes around.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're talking about, and like a guy like Cam Coleman, I mean, he, unless he goes to Alabama, is leaving a state he's lived in pretty much his whole life, right? He was an Alabama kid. That's why he went to Auburn. He was looking at Texas A&M before then. So I think that, you know, you have to make those decisions, are not easy. You have to decide, I'm going to be away from people that have been around. I'm changing up where I'm going. Do I want to be around these people? Do I want to be in the city? Yeah, there's a lot of that goes into it. And Burn Orange Fandom, that's what we're just talking about. I don't think we're behind the eight ball at all. We're not behind the eight ball because we haven't seen a run on any position. The only position that's starting to get more flushed out is quarterback, which we were not in the market for. So that's the only one that, if you didn't have a quarterback already, now you're starting to get a little more freaked out because you're starting to get into, all right, some of these names, if we don't get Leave It, where are we going to be? Yeah. And like, I may have to pretend that I really want DJ Lagway. That's a conversation that we're at. So other than that, that's the only position that I've seen that's really been like at a top level, really starting to go. Now there's players from every position going. Some of these are guys following their coaches. So you'll see like Oklahoma State's got a couple guys already. They're following their coach.
Yeah. Virginia Tech's another one.
Penn State's going to get a lot of guys because a lot of Iowa State guys are going to follow Matt Campbell. So you'll see some of that where it looks like they're winning a lot of battles in the transfer portal, but these were decisions that were made as soon as a coach was hired. So they're not necessarily as big.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback's always the position that goes first in place in the transfer portal. Like, you know, props to Texas Tech for throwing $5 million at a quarterback who's okay. Congratulations, you have the first big domino. Okay, who's the real best quarterback in the transfer portal? Probably Sam Leavitt. He's still making a decision because he's choosing between LSU and Kentucky and maybe somewhere else. DJ Lagway, still making a decision. I hear he's blown away by Florida State because they've got Gus Malzahn, and he comped him to you know, Cam Newton. But like until those big ones where all the big money negotiations are happening really take place, you're going to see smaller guys in terms of, not smaller in terms of stature, but smaller in terms of you know, money and commitment and intrigue.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little bit longer for the big guys to drop, whereas these guys, like, no disrespect, but Trey Wisner is not the best guy in the transfer portal. You know, and there's been some good players that have gone. Like, A&M got a really good safety in Tafuiq Byard.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Sorsby is a joke. I just think that he's being overrated in terms of the transfer portal and the intrigue that has surrounded his name. I watched him play very okay football over the course of the end of the season.
Yeah.
So once that stuff starts to happen, I think you'll start to see a lot more things drop. And I think that in terms of a player like Cam Coleman, like, he's got an NFL agent. David Mulligetta is his agent. He's not pushing him into making a decision based on money.
No. Well, and he's not.
He's pushing him into making a decision based on what's best for his NFL future. And that kind of decision takes a little bit more time than, oh, they threw $6 million at you, you better jump on it.
No, exactly. No, and Mulligetta understands. Yeah, he's actually breaking everything down and doing it in a very professional way. So, we're definitely not behind the eight ball. And this is the point I made earlier when we were talking, was Matt's level of confidence in the transfer portal is the same as it was on Friday. Mine is the same as it was on Friday. They're different levels, but they're the exact same level that it was on Friday. Neither one of us has thought it's worse. I'm more anxious, sure, but that's only because of time. That is not my belief in things turning out the right way. I was anxious on Friday. That's more of the piece.
And I think that people just really want to see balls start to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, no, that's why you want Cam Coleman. Too many drop balls.
Yes.
Hey.
But what I mean is, you know, there's so much fanfare heading into the transfer portal that it's going to be the craziest transfer portal in the history of the transfer portal. And then you get there, and the majority of the things that are happening are North Texas players going to Oklahoma State, Iowa State players going to Penn State, and Penn State players going to Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And there's a few other pieces here and there, but people are just waiting for, like, when's the big thing supposed to happen? And it's just creating a bunch of anxiousness among a bunch of fan bases. I mean, think about how Florida feels right now. They still don't know if their best player is coming back next year. They want him to just commit to their program again, and they're freaking out about it. And then everybody else in the country wants this guy and that guy or the other. So, plenty more time to go in this thing.
Plenty more time. Texas did get another commitment during our show. Michael Massounis, a tight end for you. That is going to be a force to block for Texas. So you do get one of those in. We'll come back here. We're going to take our first break. We'll come back. We'll continue talking a little bit more about the portal, talk about where some of the guys that Texas were on Texas last year, where they're looking, and how that is going so far for where those guys end up, because you kind of want to see, like, we'll talk about it, but there's reasons to care about where Texas players end up in the portal as well. Just is a weird thing, but it matters about your image. So we'll talk about that as well. Get into it. We'll talk about Texas basketball as much as I don't want to. And then also the NFL right now, wrapped up yesterday evening. We now have our playoffs set, so we can look forward to what the playoffs will look like. We'll do with that. We hope you hang with us and bring in your questions. We always try to keep you in the conversation. We love talking with you guys in the chat. So we'll keep doing that here on a Monday edition of Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
At Sleep Cycle Center, we can treat your sleep apnea in various ways. My story starts 15 years ago with the loss of my father to undiagnosed, untreated sleep apnea. And this is a very preventable disease, and treatment options are various. Millions of people across America have sleep apnea, and they fail to realize the early warning signs. Fatigue, daytime sleepiness, and snoring are the most common signs. We'll find the best solution using advanced technology, oral and epigenetic appliances, or CPAP. We offer weight loss, oral surgery, and laser treatments. Schedule your appointment today and get your sleep evaluation.
If you're looking to remodel a kitchen, renovate your bathroom, or maybe add some new life to your outdoor space, reach out to our friends at McCall Custom Homes. They are custom home builders and renovators here in Central Texas, and they've been doing it in Central Texas for more than 40 years. It's a father-son team with a ton of experience, and all of that experience is here in the Austin area. So they know what it takes to turn an Austin area home into something truly, truly special. Right now, our friends at McCall Custom Homes are offering free estimates to TSU listeners so they can come out to your place, hear your vision, they can tell you what they can do, and then you can go from there. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their website, McCallCustomHomesATX.com. Look at the gallery of jobs they've done over the last four decades. And then when you're ready, again, reach out to them and they will come to you. McCallCustomHomesATX.com, or you can call or text Mike McCall directly at 512-633-9580. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street. Hold the door for people behind us. Tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before. Give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charities. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt. Sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop. Watch some games with your friends and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics, but more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.